This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy, C. Sparky Pfeiffer, Charlie Hughes, and other side of the glass, a Friday. It's great to get to Friday, right? Get to the weekend, get to have some fun stuff, and looking forward to the weekend. In fact, Sunday, I'm having a rare day date with Kay. My mom has decided to watch the Youngins. So we can go hang out and walk around Lake Geneva, grab something to eat, maybe go to a couple of antique stores, and chill out a little bit. See, those are the dates you look forward to, Charlie, when you do have children, is to get away from the children so you can have some time of just adult time without mom. That's all it is. They don't ever say dad. That's never the case. It's always mom, mommy, mom, ma, mom, mommy. It doesn't stop.
Yeah. That makes sense. I'm excited to eventually not have kids. No.
My goal is to now be here, still working here, when your girl is pregnant with your first kid, and you come out there and be like, guess what, Sparky? And I'll be like, what? Or it'll be like Charlie's Sounds of the Day. It'll be her recording something ahead of time to play back. Hey, Sparky, it's Beth. Hey, how you doing? Got some news here in your Sounds of the Day. I'm pregnant. Yay! And we all go nuts. Like, that's how I kind of envision this. I don't know when that happens. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever.
Hopefully a few more years.
Hopefully not next week.
I need a little more time.
Right? Maybe not next week.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Exactly.
Maybe not next week. Okay, joining us now, he is Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports. Follow him on Twitter, by Andrew Wagner. I said earlier there was an announcement to be made. The announcement is simple. Happy birthday, Andrew Wagner.
Thank you. You had me until Lake Geneva. Why in the name of all that is holy would you want to spend a day in Lake Geneva?
I like Lake Geneva, but my mom lives in Elkhorn, so it's close.
Okay.
So we drop them off there, and we go to Lake Geneva.
I thought I was going to marry a spoiled, pretentious princess whose family is from Lake Geneva, and my God, is that hell that I can just not even wrap my head around.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you tie bad thoughts into a city and you just can't find yourself going back to that city because of something like that that happened. I have no bad thoughts. I used to work at WLKG Radio in Lake Geneva back in the day.
Old school.
Yeah, I was a morning show producer there. I tried sales, didn't make a single sale back in the day when I was there, but Sharkman in the Morning was a show I produced for back then. So on your birthday, you're hanging out and doing Brewers and Reds. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. You know, I'd love to be in Tulsa at the Mercury Lounge enjoying some live music and libations, but, you know, I'm a dedicated journalist, Sparky.
You are. And, you know, not only are you a dedicated journalist, and we'll get into the Brewers, but I have some other non-Brewers, Reds-specific stuff that I came across the other day that I would like to get your take on. You are a very good friend, too, and co-worker and colleague, and really care about the people that you work with, I point to one young Jack Stern of BrewerFanatic.com who almost got beheaded in the press box the other day. And when he came back the next day, you had won out, spent your hard-earned money to try and keep him safe going forward. Can you please explain to me what's going on?
Okay, we need to backtrack because there's some details of the story that are missing.
Fair enough.
That net has been here since at least last season. I bought it last season.
It's a fishing net.
Yes. After I got drilled on back-to-back pitches.
What?
In the press box. Yeah, it was back-to-back pitches. They both buzzed my ear. So I bought it and it hung there. And I also bought it to troll a fan who just lurks in front of the press box every game, all game long, chasing down foul balls. Like, just weird. So I got to hang in there. But it was also an ode. Now, this is way before my time, but I have a ridiculous knowledge of the Milwaukee Braves for someone who is 47 now. And I knew that back in the day, on these very airwaves, 1250 at the time, WEMP, Earl Gillespie and Blaine Walsh, the Braves radio announcers, had a fishnet in the booth. And every time a foul ball came screaming back at County Stadium, Earl Gillespie would scream, "Blainer, get the net." I thought, hey, a nice touch in the press box.
That's amazing.
So let's fast forward now to a couple days ago. I was taking a little soiree to the club level to visit the facilities, as I am wont to do on occasion. And I get a text message saying from our very own Mitch Thunderdellis saying, "Your boy Jack Stern is getting lit up on the radio." And apparently Jack completely flubbed a foul ball. And I am terribly disappointed in young Jack because, you know, I consider him a little brother, excellent taste in music, big Seinfeld fan.
The ball was hit so hard. It went through the wall. Like, there's a hole in the wall, according to Jack Stern.
Well, that was last year. This time, he reaches the net out. Poor preparation, poor anticipation, and the ball just, like, bangs off the rim like it was a Milwaukee Bucks jump shot.
That's not nice.
He's got the net, he sticks it out, and just flubs it. So I am wholly disappointed in my little press box brother right now because that's just unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's just unacceptable.
I don't know, but I still think it's nice, though, that you guys have something to protect yourself with, even if it is just a fishing net at this point. It's better than nothing, and I'm proud of y'all for watching out for one another. That is nice. I don't know if you'd watch out for all of them, but I know you like Jack, so that is good. Speaking of liking, I like the Brewers pitching staff here the last three games. Really pitching well. Nestor Cortez was not nasty in the first game, but he was doing his thing last night, Drew.
Yeah, he looked really sharp last night. They've got, you know, three straight solid starting pitching performances. You know, Chad Patrick, then Freddie, and then Nestor. And no surprise, they've won all three games. Now, granted, they've had to scrape out runs in those games, but the way the Brewers play is predicated on starting pitching. They like to get a lead early. They like their pitching to hold it down and then turn it over to the bullpen. It lends itself to playing the kind of baseball they like to play. They're not a team that's going to bash you out of the yard. They're just not. They have the potential to do it on certain nights. They have a sneaky amount of power in that lineup. It hasn't shown yet, but they do have the potential. But 9 times out of 10, they're going to be playing those close games that they're going to have to eke out. And you can't do that if your pitchers aren't going out there and minimizing the damage.
We talk about today's pitcher. It's Tyler Alexander on the mound. I can't wait to hear how Tommy Wirtz, coming up at 6 o'clock on the leadoff show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, spins why I should trust Tyler Alexander in this game, because I don't. You tell me what you think this matchup, Alexander against Nick Martinez, and Nick Martinez is nothing to write home about either from his time in San Diego. Your thoughts on the matchup, and what can we expect from Tyler Alexander?
He had success last year moving into that swing role with the Rays. Listen, it comes down to this. He is a guy who is fresh and can give you length right now. That's what it comes down to. Didn't have all the questions in the world, but they don't have a lot of options. Carlos Rodriguez is brought up as kind of an insurance policy, but they're going to try and put Alexander out there, see what he can give you. They liked what they saw of him during spring training. They like his stuff. They like the way that he pitches. He is the best option they have at this exact moment. And it's not great. It's not ideal. But considering the state of the starting rotation, it just makes sense at this point.
We asked earlier in the show Andrew Wagner of Forbes Sports the question of, are you more excited about the pitching or more concerned about the offense?
I mean, I guess I would say I'm kind of even on both of them. The pitching is encouraging, that's for sure, but they have to keep it up. I'm not really concerned about the offense because, I mean, this happens all over the place. It takes time sometimes to settle in. Like, spring training and the regular season are two different things, and the guys that you're waiting to get going are veteran dudes who know that it takes time sometimes and know that you might stink it up out of the gate, but it's too early to start freaking out. I mean, I have no doubt that Christian Yelich is going to start hitting the baseball. I have no doubt that William Contreras is going to start clubbing the baseball. Like, those guys know what they're doing. They know it's just a small sample size yet, and they know it's going to come around. You know, it's hard for hitters in the beginning of the season because the pitchers are ahead of you. You know, you put up gaudy numbers in spring training, but let's face it, pitchers at that point aren't honed in. They're not locked in. They're going through the motions. They're trying to build up arm strength, tinker with new pitches, this, that, and the other thing. They get knocked around a bit. But when the lights go on, that's when the pitchers start putting their best stuff forward. And 9 times out of 10, they're further along than the hitters are.
I will say I was a little excited that we got to see a little running last night from the Brewers with Collins and Frelick. More of that, the better, I think, going forward. As I've talked about before, that was the only aspect that I was maybe a little bit concerned about through, you know, those first, you know, 3 or 4 games where they just weren't running a ton. And all of you baseball people are like, oh, you don't try and be aggressive when you're up. We go station to station in baseball when you're down by 10 runs. So that's fine. But now that it was a close game, now we're aggressive and we take chances. And a couple of stolen bases last night, which was fine.
And it's, part of that is because of the way the guys are pitching in those blowout losses. I mean, when your team is up by 48 zillion runs, you can just sit there and chuck them over the zone as hard as you want and dare guys to hit them. You know, it's harder to have an aggressive running game with the way that pitchers are throwing when they're comfortable, when they're just in cruise control mode. Because they don't have to work the zone. They don't have to come in, out, whatever. You know, part of the running game depends on getting the right pitch to run on. And you just don't have that opportunity. Plus, you have to put guys on base. The Brewers sure as hell weren't doing a good job of that.
No, they weren't. And I would agree with that, too. And again, I think this offense gets going just like you. I have just as much faith in this offense picking it up and moving forward. Pat Murphy, has his attitude, has his mood changed at all during this little run from maybe getting frustrated early on to not maybe being a little bit more chipper? Or is he pretty much maintained same emotion throughout?
He is. Even Steven, man, he is steady as it goes. I mean, he gets more worked up, I think, after victories and finding things that could have been done better than it is after losses. And I think teams like this that are so young and still so inexperienced, they need that. They need a guy that's going to come in and say, hey, this thing ain't over yet. You know, all is not lost. Like, get out there and go to work. And I think that the mindset and mentality that he tries to instill, the whole win tonight philosophy, as simple and cliche as it sounds, that's what it takes. Like, especially when you're in a, you know, 0-4 hole to start the season, especially when you've gotten clubbed around like nobody's business to start the season. Just who cares? It's over with. You can't change it. Go out there and win tonight. You can't win 4 in a row until you win 1. Can't win 3 in a row until you win 2. Like, it's a one step at a time approach. And again, as cliche as it sounds, it's exactly what this team needed.
The other day, Kurt Hoge had some video from Carroll University of Atanasio talking about having a conversation with his good buddy Scott Boris and how the Brewers are going to watch one of his clients throw a bullpen. Any more information on that as far as who it was and how it went?
No, I mean, the guess has come down to, you know, the most likely candidate would be Spencer Turnbull, who
correct,
is someone that a lot of us thought the Brewers might find during the offseason, and because he was basically pitching the same role that Tyler Alexander did, and Tyler Alexander is going to do with the Brewers, that, you know, multi-inning spot starter swingman role. You know, numbers were fairly similar. Stuff is fairly similar. Only thing that wasn't similar is probably the price tag, because one is Scott Boras and one isn't. You know, I'm sure we haven't heard anything official. We don't even know when this bullpen is, who it's with, but that seems the most likely candidate when you look at the list of available free agents.
Andrew Wagner, it is his birthday. Go on social media. Wish him a happy birthday by Andrew Wagner. If you see him at the ballpark tonight and there's a group of you, go in front of the press box and sing happy birthday to Andrew Wagner. The goal should be at least three groups of people singing happy birthday to you in front of the press box, I think, by the end of the evening. And if some of y'all need liquid courage, by all means, get some liquid courage and have a couple and then go sing happy birthday to Andrew Wagner. That's what I would like to see happen today at American Family Field, because you deserve all of that and more, Andrew Wagner.
And you can see my face right now, Stephen.
I'll wait till you see Twitter. That's all I'm going to say about that. Just wait till you see Twitter. Maybe stay off Twitter.
Help us all.
Just maybe stay off Twitter.
Help us all.
Charlie Usen's all over it, boy. He is on top of it. So when you get mad, that's who you're going to get mad at. All right, buddy. Have a good birthday.
See you next week.